Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Randy Thompson, sitting in for the vacationing Sam Shad. Today we'll be talking with Captain Sam Brown, who's running for the U.S. Senate, coming up on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Randy Thompson, sitting here with Captain Sam Brown. Welcome, Sam, to Nevada Newsmakers. I think it's the first time we've had you on our show.
That's right. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So a lot of our audience might not know that you're running for the Senate, but before we even get to that, let's talk a little bit about who is Sam Brown. Where are you from? How'd you join the military? What'd you do before the military? All that stuff.
Yeah. So I was actually a senior in high school on 9/11, whenever our country was attacked. And I had been raised as an oldest of five kids in a fairly small town in Arkansas. And my father had always kind of instilled in me and my siblings a sense of duty to country and service. And so leading up to 9/11, I had spent all of my high school years really trying to be competitive and place myself in a position to go to a military academy. So the month following those attacks, I was accepted to West Point.
Wow.
And found myself there in 2002, beginning my academic and leadership training for the Army. Graduated in 06 and was an infantry officer. Did Ranger School, Airborne School, assigned to 3rd Brigade, 1st Infantry Division at Fort Hood, Texas, and deployed to Afghanistan in 2008. And in fact, this past Saturday was my 13-year anniversary. I call it my alive day for when I was blown up and survived that moment. Unfortunately, my wounds were severe enough that I had to be medevaced all the way back to San Antonio, Texas, and spent 3 years going through rehab and surgery. There was a lot of pain involved, as you can imagine. But one of the blessings of that was I met my wife there. She worked in the burn unit as a dietitian, and she was also in the Army as an officer. And so just very fortunate that, you know, she saw past my scars and, you know, loved me for who I am. And so she's really kind of foundational to, who I am as a person, and really provides me a lot of, strength. And I feel like we complement each other well.
Well, I was able to meet her, so I guess I should disclose that Sam and I joined the Elks Lodge the same night last month.
That's
so
right.
We're fellow Elks members. And I met your wife there. She is lovely. So let me go back a little bit. What was it like to be at West Point right after 9/11?
It was kind of surreal because, my class was really the first class to enter West Point while we were actively engaged in war since Vietnam.
Wow. Okay.
And there was, I don't know what it was like exactly before I got there, but there seemed to be a heightened sense of purpose and, you know, just a quickening, if you will, of everything that we were training for, all of the leadership training, all of the military training was not just training for the sake of training. It was training for the purpose of actually leading troops in combat on behalf of our country. And that's, you know, for 4 years, that's what we did. I kind of preview, something we may discuss later, Afghanistan. But this is where we really were not just taught about individual leadership sort of traits and skills, but that's where I began to be taught about, this concept of nation building.
That's a whole new topic, isn't it?
It is.
So was there an anger at West Point that we're going to go get these guys? Was there just a, now we're being called into action to defend our country? I mean, what was kind of that, an underlying feeling of, were you looking at Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia as enemies, as threats? How was that perception back then?
Yeah, I would say that it was very much so, perceived as a threat. Anger, I don't feel like is probably a fair way to describe it, but just a real sense of purpose. I think a lot of the mentality of folks who go to a military academy in general is one of which, you want to be the best you can be. You feel like you've done a lot to try and be in a position to serve our country as a junior military officer when you graduate. And so to know that you're going to be able to put those skills and your training to use in an environment that, may make or break, mm-hmm. A situation, there's a lot of fulfillment in that.
So, okay, you touched on nation building. What were you guys being taught back then about nation building?
Yeah, so, by the time I approached graduation in 06, we had been in Afghanistan for, almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. We'd been in Iraq for a couple of years. And so we were really past, obviously, that initial mission of going in to disrupt Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. And we were well past sort of, getting Saddam Hussein out of power. And so the missions there had focused to counterinsurgency and nation building. One of the slogans is winning hearts and minds. And, as a young college age future leader in the military, you're very impressionable to what your senior military leaders are teaching and sort of what I'm going to call military academia. And it had moved towards this concept of our military fighting force shouldn't necessarily just be a fighting force, we should be a force of deploying soft power. So for me, what that looked like on the ground when I got to Afghanistan was interacting with village leaders, doing an assessment of what types of crops are these farmers growing. Does this community have a school? Do they have places of worship? Almost exclusively mosques in Afghanistan. And so taking sort of an assessment of that, and then working with other partners, whether it's Department of State or NGOs, to help sort of deploy those type of assets into those areas to really sort of help bring Afghanistan along.
How much history did you guys learn at West Point in the sense of specifically 1978, 1979, what I call the Charlie Wilson's war era? But we'd been there before. We were fighting the Russians, helping the Afghans.
Yeah.
And what did you learn about that experience, and did they allow it to be part of what you were doing this time? Because we didn't do a very good job in Afghanistan and back in the 80s.
Right. It was not a big focus
on our
sort of academic
education.
You think
it should have been in retrospect?
It probably should have been.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but I remember in 08, the year I deployed, there was a big piece, it may have been Wall Street Journal, New York Times, but it said Afghanistan, the forgotten war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sort of what it was. Yeah. In fact, you know, there was some disappointment at the time and within my unit that we were going to Afghanistan instead of Iraq, because Iraq seemed to be, you know, a much more active combat zone and stuff. But, you know, there was a place for us in Afghanistan, and I think, you know, we sort of saw a transition around that time where Afghanistan started really ramping up and Iraq started to become a less combative environment. And there's just, you know, for some, and especially in the infantry mindset, there's, you know, almost a weird mindset of you want to go where the action is at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once we got on the ground and you know, sort of understood what we were up against, you know, there was a lot of buy-in and excitement about that within the unit.
So the stories are that the Afghanis, and I guess even the Iraqis, would essentially build their military installations around schools or around mosques. Is that true? I mean, were they trying to essentially protect themselves with kindergartners?
Well, they didn't have to go as far as to build, you know, installations. In most cases, they wore whatever the local population was wearing, and there was no need to even, you know, formally show who they were. And so that was part of what made them challenging to identify as a threat was just their ease of which blending into the local population.
So no military uniforms.
No.
Interesting. That definitely made it a challenge.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation about Afghanistan right after this.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Brown. Army captain, retired, I guess, now?
That's right.
And a candidate for the U.S. Senate. So let's talk a bit about Afghanistan. I'll be blunt. What happened to you?
So I was blown up on a mission that was really sort of going back to the, you know, the nation building concept. We were moving turbines into a dam on the Helmand River to what was supposed to provide electricity for all of southern Afghanistan. And on this mission, it involved the Brits, the Canadians, and us. Unfortunately, it was planned at a level way above me that the convoy would go in one way to the dam site and then back out the same way. And it doesn't take a military genius to know that it's not a good idea to go in and out the same way. Mm-hmm. And so on the way out, our forces were attacked. And
even though you were building, essentially providing electricity to this area.
Yeah. You know,
gosh, it's just amazing.
What we perceive as, you know, progress or, you know, a necessity or even a luxury isn't necessarily, you know, viewed the same way. Mm-hmm. And so the irony of the situation is that we have unelected officials have basically messed up the situation. You know, there was, I think there were some Brits that were also wounded or killed on this mission. I lost one of my soldiers in responding to this ambush. The Canadians had some folks wounded. And the turbines didn't even fit into the dam. And so my brother was deployed there several years later. And he said, Sam, those turbines are sitting outside of the side of the dam, rusting to this day.
Oh.
But so that was the mission we were on. And a fellow classmate of mine from West Point, his platoon was ambushed. And so I was leading my guys in response to help provide support when we drove over a roadside bomb. And it basically hit right on the fuel tank of my vehicle and, you know, left me engulfed in flames. One of my soldiers was killed. Four of us were wounded. And that's how I got here. I was burning from my knees, basically, kind of to the top of my head. And, you know, left me, you know, scarred physically on the outside. But, you know, I still have a strong heart and a strong drive.
Yeah. So part of the concern a lot of folks have said about now the way we pulled out of Afghanistan, the way we've essentially turned the country back over to the Taliban, is the frustration that soldiers feel who made the ultimate sacrifice, which is death, but you living with these scars. How are you worried about your fellow veterans right now?
I am worried. Yeah. I talk to a lot of, you know, guys that I served with, you know, my brother, he did three tours, some of his friends, other people that are just friends, but I didn't deploy with. I mean, so I've talked to a wide band of folks, including some Vietnam veterans. I've said, Colt, hey, you know, how did you deal with this type of situation?
Yeah, because they were not welcomed home. At least you guys, hopefully, have been welcomed home.
Yeah, no, we've been welcomed home, which is, you know, which is totally different than the Vietnam veterans experience, but just sort of that sense of there was so much sacrifice made and, you know, did Vietnam conclude in a way that, you know, left people at peace? And the answer has been very loudly that people have lost trust in our government and in our officials at the White House and in our officials at the Pentagon. And not just officials, but even general officers, the people who for many of us, we looked up to as our role models, as examples of people that, you know, we wanted to grow up to model our lives after and the type of leadership that they had. They've betrayed us. Yeah. And I've had multiple people say, Sam, I felt like I was lied to. Oh. And, you know, it's so that's on one hand. The other hand is, almost across the board, everyone is very proud of the service that they had. And for those who did sacrifice something, you know, that it was worth it in a sense of, for that brief period of time, whether it was people in Afghanistan or people in Iraq, they were given some relief from the terrors of their life by us being there. And it's just, it's a shame that our leadership has created this situation.
Well, we'll take a break, come back, and talk about that leadership. We'll be right back after this.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And we're back on Nevada Newsmakers talking with Sam Brown. So you've got a history of military. And now you want to run for the U.S. Senate. Well, what, are you doing anything else right now, or are you just running full-time for the Senate?
Well, I've got a job as well.
Okay.
So and by job, I mean I own my own business. And
okay.
So our business provides basically access to pharmacies outside of the VA network in those emergency situations that veterans can't get their medication from the VA in a timely manner, because the VA prefers to use a mail system, mm-hmm. But you know, there's sometimes sort of emergency or urgent situations where they need medication same day if it's going into a clinic, and if clinics can't support that, then we help them get access to that in the private sector.
So I take it you probably needed some of those medications while you were recovering, huh?
That's right.
Interesting. From pain becomes a business.
That's right.
That's awesome. So tell us now, I understand that you did run for the legislature in Texas, and
yeah.
Then you moved to Nevada, and I'm sure you've heard it 100 times that we Nevadans don't like carpetbaggers, people
right.
that have moved here to bring their money and run for the Senate. Dissuade me of that argument. Tell me why you're a good candidate for the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. Well, so I'm a good candidate for the U.S. Senate because I am not really from the political class. And it's true, I did run for the Texas House at the state level. But that was about a year after I got out of the military. And I was still looking for sort of my purpose, if you mm-hmm. will. I was, because you got to remember, I wanted to have an entire military career that got cut short.
Right.
And so I'd been sort of recruited by some folks in the local community. We lived there in Dallas right after my wife got out of the military, and our kids were really young. And so didn't win that race. And you know, for folks to say, well, you know, Sam moved here just, you know, for political opportunity. I had all the political relationships I needed or wanted in Texas, and that's arguably a red state. So
mm-hmm.
it would have made more sense. If I wanted to climb a political ladder, I would have done that there.
Okay.
But our kids got to, you know, past that toddler age, and my wife and I love the outdoors. We love the mountains. I thought I left backpacking behind when I got out of the infantry, but my wife has dragged us back into it. And so we moved here for lifestyle and to get out of a big city and be in a place that we want to raise our children. And so, you know, I started my business here. In fact, while I was getting my business started, I worked at Amazon on the north side of Reno, you know, packing boxes, loading trucks. I wanted to get away from that sort of rat race of politics and just the big city lifestyle. And so that's what brought us here. But what makes me good for this race is that I do have sort of what I call the everyday man and woman experience. You know, our kids have gone to school here in the public schools. I've worked both in, you know, a fulfillment center packing boxes and sort of have that experience, and now I run my own business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're salt of the earth people who don't come from a political, you know, family dynasty, or you know, I didn't start as someone's, you know, chief of staff and sort of work my way up, you know, through the political ranks. I'm not a career politician. I'm running because Americans and Nevadans need someone who will be a voice and a champion for our issues and for our needs. And the political class has been using, you know, different sort of topics and issues and basically our well-being as pieces on a chessboard for far too long, that every 2 years they go activate a base or go raise money off of this or that. And it's to stay in power. And we need something to disrupt that. And that's what I'm here for, is to be a champion for kind of the everyday man and woman.
Well, I think Trump is probably the biggest disruptor we've had in politics in a while. But it also shows that, change can be good. It can be divisive, but it can be good to bring in a new perspective. What's your pathway to victory? You're going up against a man who's already won statewide, who's got the family legacy, who's got the money. What's your pathway to victory?
I think the pathway is clearly really sort of biographical and purpose-minded. As you said, you know, someone who's won statewide, well, that someone has also lost statewide most recently. And, you know, if you look at sort of my life experience compared to others who are in this race, you have folks who have tried to ascend a, you know, sort of a career politician ladder for years and years versus someone, as I just described, who's worked in fulfillment centers, runs a small business, has kids that have gone, you know, to our local public schools. The policies and the impact of what our electeds have placed on us, I live with and I live under, and I haven't tried to exempt myself from that. And so, you know, that's, people are ready for and are resonating with wanting something different and not divisive, but different and representative of them. And that's what I offer.
Well, I will always credit anybody with running for office. So first, thank you for putting your name on the ballot. Whether I vote for them or not, I still admire anybody. Having done it myself, I admire anybody who puts their name on the ballot. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice for our country. And good luck in your race. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts. And now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian. And at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching and listening. You can catch us anytime on our new YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you. Hey, Mom.